Hello, greetings and salutations. Welcome to the show. You are listening to Wannabe Radio, and I am your host, Gabriel Fast. Today, I'm going to be joined by my friend, Terrell Brown. Here he is, and he has a old school headset on, I might add. Because he's... Yeah, exactly. You're going to give us a breaker, niner type deal. Yeah. As you can tell by the title, today we are doing an album review. We are reviewing This Is Why by Paramore. This is, of course, the band's newest album. And do you know which, how many albums they've done, Terrell?
I'm like going down the list right now. Hold on. I'm going to take a guess and say like seven. Seven or nine in that ballpark?
I'm Googling it right now. How many albums does Paramore have? So this is their sixth. This is their sixth album.
Oof.
Yeah. So you were wrong, idiot. No. Just kidding. Just joking. I asked you on the show, Terrell, because you're a musician yourself. You're a very creative musician. And obviously your musical persona, Freddie Jones, Freddie, or you know, a past persona, you know, and I wanted to say also welcome to the show, by the way.
Thanks, it's good to be here.
Yeah, it's nice to have you. I invited you on because you're really creative in terms of, you know, music, and I love talking about music because it's just so subjective, and you know, a lot of times you can like a record for a completely different reason than someone else likes it. And I'm always interested to have those types of conversations. Yeah. So Terrell, before we get into the review of This Is Why, tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, like how long have you been making music? You know, what kind of music would you define yours as? Like the whole shebang.
I think since like eighth grade or something, my family's always been around just random music. Like I think we grew up off like Shania Twain and just like jazz and then 90s R&B, just random mix of stuff. So I've always been into it, but I think I got like my first instrument in the eighth grade, I believe, and then started making stuff on Audacity just randomly. And just never stopped since then. I think indie pop is what I make. I don't know. Like, I try and combine as much things as I like. But
I feel like it's whenever I listen to your music, it reminds me of like King Cruel a little bit, or K Rule, whatever you want to call it. You know, yeah. I mean, and just he's not really like a genre. Like I wouldn't place a genre on him. His music is very unique and one of a kind. You know, so you put a record out this past year, correct?
Yeah.
So, and what was the name of that? Remind me again. Was it literally just titled Freddie Jones?
Hodgepodge.
So walk me through what that process was like, you know, like what, how long had you been working on it? What kind of, you know, teach me.
Okay. I think I was working on it maybe like a year or so. I think it's the first time I put something out on Spotify. The rest was just like SoundCloud stuff. But I don't know. I was just started making songs. And then afterwards, I'm like, oh, I got about six or seven songs. Might as well just like put it all together. Most of it was about like isolation, kind of like being by yourself. And then the things you think about while you're by yourself. And the effects of it. Most of it, maybe like six or seven songs. But yeah, I just... made it. I don't know. It's really hard to like describe the process. Like sometimes I'll start with like a drum beat or something, or maybe like guitar. I do know lyric wise it was more pointed than anything that I've written before. Like I was like, okay, I want to actually write about something rather than like accidentally write about something. You ever like kind of, I mean, you make music too. It's like you write something and then it's not, It was just random words kind of fits a melody, but it randomly ends up being about something you've been going through. Usually I do that, but now, or this one rather, it was more pointed and everything that I wrote. So I liked it, and yeah.
Was this, you know, was hodgepodge like kind of a like a an answer to COVID type deal?
Mostly, I guess, or like a result of COVID. Some of it's about like nostalgic feeling about missing friends, kind of going down a rabbit hole of the past, and then self-reflection. Because I don't know about you, but every time I think about the past, I kind of think of like who I was in that moment, and then some people are like, dang, I was kind of an idiot, like most parts of it.
Yeah, no,
Something like that.
I completely resonate with that part of it.
Yeah.
You're speaking my language because it's like, you know, whenever I make music and it's definitely not, you know, like what you make, it's very different and like not definitely not as good. So
No,
don't, you know,
no,
but
not.
I can resonate with you a little bit, just in terms of like when you put something together musically, it kind of evokes a specific emotion, you know, maybe if you lean towards the music first, which is normally what I do. Like that's how I speak the language. That's how I like get across my point of what I'm trying to say. And usually it does start with like the drum beat for me the same way. And
Because
a
you're
drum
the
beat.
drummer.
Yeah, exactly. A drum beat or a bass line, or usually I guess I should take that back. Usually it starts with a bass line or just a simple riff. And then I hear drums around that. So, you know, it's songwriting. I get what you're saying, though, about how once you kind of have this, a few pieces of something that could be a song, you're like, oh, now I have to write about something lyrically, you know, because not everyone can be explosions in the sky, no matter how much we want to be, you know. And I'll never forget one time, you know, Jack White, he said, and it was kind of a double-edged sword because I think as musicians, we all want to be heard and like recognized as artists, you know? And we want to, whenever we make something, we don't want to be stuck in that portion forever. Like we want to leave that in the past. And, you know, same thing, like I'm working on a record right now too, where it's like all these different songs, I mean, have been recorded throughout the past 3 or 4 years. So, you know, it's like you can kind of get different vibes for each, but I didn't know what I wanted to say, you know? And I you know, some of my favorite songs that I've made are kind of like what you're talking about, just those raw lyrics, those raw thoughts that come to mind after you've put this hodgepodge together of, you know, stuff that you like, and it's like it makes me feel this way, you know? So and honestly, with how raw hodgepodge was, in my opinion, I was like, that totally makes sense, you know, how it would have been that way. So what's your like current recording setup right now?
Right now, I have this like Surface, this little interface, and a condenser mic. And I think I have a Mach 2, like the little drum machine. But that's about it. Like a guitar and a bass.
Is that what you made hodgepodge with?
Yeah, actually, Hodgepodge was made with like something crappier. It was like this old Dell computer. I didn't have a laptop at first, and so one of my buddy's dads was like, "Hey, you got a laptop?" Because he's a bassist, he makes music. He's like, "Hey, here, I'll send you a laptop." And he sends me this like old laptop, and it's got like the cursor in the middle. You remember like the little dot?
Oh God.
But yeah, that's what
Yeah.
I made Hodgepodge on. It's
Seriously,
funny. I
do you still have it?
yeah, I still have it.
Dude, send me a picture of it and I'll put it in the video.
For sure. It's
Yeah.
funny. I kind of honestly, I started making some stuff on like the Surface, like the little setup that I have, and I honestly like that setup a lot better than the Surface. Like certain parts about it, it's weird.
And
I don't
well,
know.
dude, no, I totally get what you're saying because, you know, the DAW relationship, you know, and like the creative relationship like that you have with your tools is something to be said about that because I have in my front room, there is a place to track drums, there's a place to track piano, you know, it's a nice open space. I track guitar in there, but then it's nice and bright. There's a lot of light in that room. And in my office, it's much darker in here, more ambient. I have my laptop right in front of me, my MacBook, to where now I have this fusion of like I can make a beat in here, and then it's like it's very easy to just like send that file to my Mac in the front room.
Oh,
So then I
that's
can
cool.
seamlessly like make a beat in here and then live track stuff in the other room, like with just a cut, and just that synergy that you have, like it's nice to find that once you have more equipment. But I get what you're saying. Like I had an old MacBook Air that was like really, really old. It could barely, it's like as soon as I would boot up GarageBand, it would just like immediately the fans are kicking on and it's like,
Thing's struggling.
and yeah, but for a long time, like even after I got a new computer, for a long time, I still use that MacBook because you just get accustomed to a certain workflow. And I totally get what you're saying, like about certain preferences you might have with a more janky setup.
Yeah, it's like I can't shake it. I'm like, man, it's just different the way everything. And it was funny because at a certain amount of tracks, it would glitch out. Like it would start like poking in and out, I guess spazzing out. So I would have to like at 10 tracks, if I wanted to add more, I would just like save that file as one track and then open a new one and then add new tracks to it, which is probably horrible for whoever's gonna mix it. But like,
Yeah, they're like, wow, why is this all the same?
yeah,
Yeah,
so.
but yeah, but honestly, it's kind of funny you say that because it kind of transports you back in the day to whenever that's kind of like a similar setup that people were using. There very well could have been people making music on that, like those older setups and stuff like that. Like, I don't know, kind of cool.
Music sounded better for sure back in the day. I don't know.
Yeah.
What?
So let's talk about thank you for saying that. Obviously, definitely check out Freddie Jones Hodgepodges on Spotify. Is it on Apple? It's on Apple Music as well, right? Yeah, so it's everywhere. Check that out. And Terrell, I'm excited to get into this with you. So obviously this is why we talked about that. It's their sixth studio album. And I have to say, I'm a very casual Paramore fan. So whenever I reached out to you about doing this, you were like, "Hey, what about Paramore?" And obviously, like, I love the record that has, Misery Business and stuff like that. Just full of, and I mean, Hayley Williams, I have a massive crush on her. Okay, I can't help it. I think we all do, and that's okay. It's kind of funny because I didn't quite know what to expect with this record because as I understood it, they went more of a pop direction several years ago. More of like the poppy sound and kind of moved away from all that emo stuff. I mean, like not emo, but just in that scene.
Sorry.
No, you're good. And I mean, I remember, Hayley Williams herself was kind of moving more into like the starlight a little bit, right? So I'm very unfamiliar with Paramore's history. I didn't really do much research on them for this album. I kind of wanted to just go in, with no expectations, right? Terrell, I listened to this album more times than I can count. And after about my 10th or 15th listen, I was like somewhere between that like 10 and 15 range. Because like whenever I want to listen and digest an album, I just put it on in here and I just listen to it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. So in one day, I listened to that album like 20 times,
In
right?
one day, golly.
Oh yeah, for sure. That's no problem. Like, I mean that, yeah, realistically. I mean the album, to its credit, the album's not super duper long. 20 might be an exaggeration. Maybe let's say 10 to 15 times for sure. But that what I'm saying is that first day that I listened to it, I was like, this is one of the best albums I've heard in a long time.
Kind of the same.
Like,
There's been few albums that have come out where I've like listened through like from top to finish instead of like, okay, I don't know about this one, and then come back and find my favorites of the album. But I literally can listen from top to finish over and over again. Yeah, I feel you on that for sure.
It just has, you know, that transition from, you know, the last three songs on the album are very melancholy, very sad. And it's almost like it leads you into it. It makes it re-listenable like a lot because it's like, This Is Why is so jumpy and poppy, which it's funny because This Is Why is totally about like people having bad takes, right? And like, This Is Why I don't leave the house. Because, and I have to say, like, before we get too much farther into it, though, I have to ask, like, how big of a Paramore fan are you?
Man, I've been not like a super big Paramore fan, but big enough to say that like I've listened to everything they've put out and I've liked everything they've put out. Yeah, I think I'll say that if that makes sense. I'm not a
Yeah,
super
so you've
fan,
con
but
at least you've consumed all of their records. I
yeah.
mean, I have not. So at this point, it's like I've listened. I had this project I wanted to do where I went through all of them and I just overwhelmed myself. But I don't know. Like, I'm interested to hear what you think of this album in terms of like what you hear. Like, what are some of the themes that like kind of come to your mind and like, what is the overall message or messages that you get from this record?
Man, first of all, I just want to say my favorite song's got to be "Thick Skull." I think in most Paramore albums, my favorite thing about them is like Hayley Williams writing, like that. Let me put the first lyric or that first like part of it. I'm a magnet for broken pieces. Like she just paints like a scene where like she picks up pieces, fingers are bloody, and then like okay, now I get framed for, you know, trying to fix someone and then like it's my fault. Like that is absolutely insane. But yeah, she keeps it up throughout the whole album. Figure Eight was my second one. I just like the way that one felt, honestly, the rhythm. I'm a big fan of man, I can't remember his name. The drummer. Think his name skips my mind.
Yeah, I
But
have no
yeah, it's
idea.
like it's just rhythmic and full. Or I like the way at least it's like mixed for sure. But themes, I couldn't really
Yeah,
give
like.
you like one off the top. I would have to do like another like listen for sure.
Yeah, so you said Figure Eight was your, or Thick Skull is your favorite song, Figure Eight your second song?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like both of those songs. I my favorite songs, I obviously love This Is Why. I love Running Out of Time. I love Big Man, Little Dignity, and Liar are my favorites of this album. So I personally resonated with this album because I feel like the band is trying to push this idea that there's this generation that's like kind of in the middle between like the people that like made our society kind of like, you know, how it is basically, versus people that are younger than us that have no idea how to handle it, right? And I feel like there's this millennial vibe to this album where it's like she says all of the things that I'm thinking often. Like those internal things that you're afraid to say because you know you're gonna get made fun of for it, or you think people are gonna like think you're better than other people. Like she just says it. And it's not to be like, oh, I'm better than everyone else. It's to say, like, look, you're thinking the exact same thing that I'm thinking, so why don't we just all vocalize it and kind of get on the same page? And I think This Is Why is a great song and talking about it's like everyone has conflicting ideologies and thoughts, but everyone thinks that theirs is the best one, is the correct one. So it's like that alone makes it, you know, from a lot of people's standpoint, it's like, yeah, this is why I don't leave the house because no one can get along. All we do is argue. No one's on the same page.
Like the point of speaking your opinion if you can't really say it, you know, like
Yeah,
what's
exactly. And
happening.
I think it's very unapologetic, which is kind of on brand for Paramore, right? I mean, very in your face, loud, you know. I mean, they're the offspring of punk rock music, you know, and it's definitely evident. I watched an interview with Hayley Williams recently where she was talking about running out of time and how she met Dolly Parton one time, and Dolly Parton said that she hates people that run late. And Hayley Williams was talking about how she's always running late. That's the whole point of the song. I'm always running out of time, right? It makes me uncomfortable because I do feel like I'm always running late. Like sometimes it's my fault, sometimes it isn't. But it is frustrating how like you get what I'm kind of you get where I'm going with this, like a little bit. Like she says that, like, yes, we are always running out of time, but it is very rude to be late, right? Like that's we've decided as an organism, like as a society, that like to be tardy consistently and to tell people like just deal with it. Because I'm always running out of time.
But
I
it's
don't know,
also,
like.
like really relatable because I mean everyone runs late, literally. Especially I feel like as your life progresses, you have a lot of other things that you may have to like take care of or handle. And that like a lot of things just put you in the hamper sometimes for time.
I think about some of the lyrics. Like the first lyric on this song is it says, "Said I was gonna take some flowers to my neighbor, but I ran out of time." So it's like it's like addressing a very like kind of serious topic. And she said on record that she herself is always running out of time, always running late, yada yada yada. But I think the message of the song kind of goes a little bit deeper than that. Like, don't be out of time for like the really, really important things. Like, it is what it is. Yes, like maybe it's become habitual, et cetera, but like, you know, eventually it's gonna be like, wow, I can't believe I missed that. You know what I mean? Because I was running out of time. I don't know. I really enjoyed that.
Or even like that one lyric you just said, I was gonna take my neighbor flowers and I ran out of time. A lot of times you ever find yourself thinking like, oh, I'm gonna do something for someone or I'm gonna do this. Never do it because like so guy like covers like all the bases.
The it's like the dad that promises his children that he's always going to or he's going to finish the treehouse, you know, but he never does. He never finishes the
Never
treehouse.
finish the
It's
thing.
like the kids grow up and they come and visit and they're like, "You never finished the treehouse." So, I think the first time I listened to this record, Big Man, Little Dignity is actually what hooked me.
True.
Because the chorus is just so catchy, and I don't know, like it musically, it just really spoke to me. But you know, what about Figure Eight particularly do you find like significant?
I like Figure Eight because it kind of reminds me of previous Paramore. Paramore for me, I think listening to most of their albums, they always do this thing where I mean, which I think is like, what's the word? A characteristic of a good band. Like you have your style, you can go somewhere else, but also kind of keep a little bit of that same integrity. And I feel like they do it
Yeah,
in
like
every.
your right, like your attitude, like your general attitude. Yeah,
They
like
kind
it's
of.
pretty easy. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh no, yeah, they kind of do that in this one. Like the it kind of feels like not like Riot or Red Couch Paramore, but maybe like Brand New Eyes Paramore or even the self-titled. Like it feels like that, and that's what I like about it. Because then that kind of takes me down like another road of just like memories, like riding in my buddy Drew's car, like just playing Paramore like all day. But yeah, that's what I like about it.
It's nostalgic for you.
It's nostalgic for me. That's kind of like what I feel like when I listen to Paramore. It's more so nostalgic than mostly anything.
They do just really deliver and know how to make you feel. I think that's what, for me, it's like there's bands out there that I don't necessarily love, but every time I hear the song, it's like, oh, I feel something. Like I feel what you were going, like that feeling you had when you made this, that's what I'm feeling right now. Which is a good moment. Sorry. Obviously, you know, there's 10 songs on this record. It's relatively short, and I think that's part of what makes it so, you know, listenable.
Run that thing back,
Yeah, literally. I'm definitely gonna get it on vinyl. You said Thick Skull is your favorite song on the album. Can you run me through in as many de as much detail as possible why?
Yeah, I just like her writing. And for some reason it was relatable. I think, I don't know. I don't know if you have, but I wouldn't say I have too many friends, but there are people that I know and relationships that I have that I feel like are like, man, I just need to help you. Not saying I'm like anyone's savior or anything, but like, I don't know. It just felt relatable to me. And then like
Yeah, it's
trying to,
like you.
oh God.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
And then like trying to like fix, not trying to fix someone, but trying to help someone, and then you just end up, it ends up looking like you pretty much did more damage than help them, and then it's your fault. Like it now seems like your fault. And I thought that was a cool concept to write about in general too, and the way she did it kind of was just like a crazy picture to paint. I love it. It was just graphic, just it was fantastic.
Yeah, the verse, only I know where all the bodies are buried. Thought by now I'd find them just a little less scary. That resonated with me a lot, that lyric. I find this to be a very just very melancholy and this lyric here too. Hey, what's the body count up to now, Captain? That one phrase brings so much to mind. You know, it's like, wow. You know, without going into too much detail, obviously, like it just says a lot. You know, without saying too much, it lets your mind kind of explode a little bit with theories and thoughts, and you know, you're connecting dots. And I have to agree with you. I think, you know, multifaceted albums like this, where there can be multiple interpretations, there can be lots of messages and little gems that may not necessarily be right on point, but are kind of in the same vein as maybe what they were going for. I love it. It gives us something to talk about, and you know, I thought it was overall a really, really enjoyable album.
Same. Like even magnet, she was like, what, I'm a magnet for broken pieces. It's
Yeah.
like, man, why is it that you're either attracted to people that are like that, or like what, why does that keep happening? That's like another thing too. It's like, dang, this keeps
Totally.
happening, but why?
Right. It's like those memes where it's like Cookie Monster is like eating cookies, and it's like me versus like the toxic women that I, you know, always choose or something. He's like eating the cookies. You know, that's kind of how I feel sometimes. I'm like, I'm attracted to women with mental illness. I can't help myself. And I can help you. I can fix you. Yeah, exactly. You know, it is what it is. And now I have mental illness because of it. No, just kidding. That was there a long time, long before everything else. So obviously we've been singing this album's praises for a while. We're kind of wrapping up our review. I have to ask, is there any song that you don't particularly like?
Oh, come see, come saw.
Dude, thank God.
That
Thank
song is so,
God.
the chorus is so annoying to me. I
God.
couldn't take it. I don't think I've
The
even
first
listened
few
to it like fully.
times,
I
dude,
skipped it in the middle.
the first few times I listened to that song, do you know what it means, by the way?
No, actually. I'm like, I
It
feel like
means
people say it all the time, but I never.
it literally is, it is what it is.
Come see,
That's
come
what it
saw.
means. Yeah. So, yeah. I get it. It's like she's kind of having some fun, right? In a single year, I've aged 100, my social life, a chiropractic appointment. That's not relatable to me. I feel like she's trying to talk about something and be like, ooh, I'm mature. I'm like, yeah, whatever. It's like, Haley, you're not that old. You're like 2 years older than me or something like that. Like, she's not 2 years older than me, but she's not that old. And I don't know. It's like my social life, a chiropractic appointment. It's like, okay, I definitely cannot afford a regular chiropractic appointment. So,
Like, no, I've never been to
not,
one.
you know, yeah, dude, you should go at least once in your
I heard it's
lifetime. So,
amazing. Trying to get my
yeah,
back
I mean,
up.
I feel like this is just the band's having some fun, and I think this gives them an opportunity to have some fun live if they decide to play it. So
I guess, like,
now.
crowd or whatever, but
Yeah,
kind of
exactly.
noise
Just kind
to
of,
deal with it.
whatever. It very much did just feel like just a filler song in this record for sure. So we get to the point of the album review where we're at the end now, and I want to try something different. So a lot of outlets will give, reviews for stuff like, oh, this out of 10. I'd like to do something different. So if you were to purchase this, would you purchase it on vinyl, cassette, or CD? And why?
Shoot. Yeah, that's a good question. Hold on, let me think about that. And a bit, we're talking about like in a world where we still use all three. Like we use cassettes, my thing, and
Bro,
music.
I use all three.
I have one cassette like ever, but I still
Dude.
have not played it to this day.
Yeah, bro. I mean, it's one of those things, like there's certain albums that I'm like, I don't really want to buy this on vinyl, but I still want to own like a copy of this, my
Got
copy.
you.
And it's like we live on a farm, so I spend a lot of time in my truck. So when I put a CD in my truck, I'm not switching the music around all the time. It's like this is something that's infinitely listenable to me, that I put amongst like my favorites even.
So
Whereas
CD.
vinyl, go
Okay.
ahead.
So CD to you is like something you're gonna like listen to
If it's yeah, I mean
on repeat.
if it's in CD, that's something that's like I'm gonna put that in my CD player and rip it for at least a week for sure.
In that.
Now, if you love something so much, like there's definitely those albums where I'm like, I want to own this on all three.
Yeah.
Like, there's those albums too. But if you had to pick one, what would you pick?
For me, I'm gonna go shoot. Okay, like I wouldn't do I'm just gonna go what I wouldn't do and then like just do the process of if
Okay.
CD is like you running it all the time, I wouldn't do CD. Because I don't know. I've listened to this maybe like 4 or 5 times, honestly.
Gotcha.
If I do listen to Paramore, it's like this is maybe in the shuffle in the mix, but I don't like automatically go to this. Maybe like in the future, I'll probably like let me see, like listen to this. So I wouldn't do CD if that's what it means. What does vinyl mean to you? Like more of a
So vinyl is more of a
collector's
collector
eye.
thing, and it's like we listen to vinyl all the time, but it's not something we do constantly. So this is like you're not gonna have a vinyl that you don't like. You know what I mean? It's like anything in your collection should be something on any given day that you can just pick up and enjoy it for what it is. And for me, that's what this record is. I feel like it has its own personality. And albums just really speak to me. I hate playlists. Like, I really do. And albums really speak to me. So whenever I feel like I'm getting a good story, that's what I more gravitate towards. So to me, just for my age and like the way I feel, like this album really resonates with me just because I get what she's saying. That's going to be something that maybe in the next few years, if I listen to it, it'll be laughable because maybe things will be a lot different in 2 or 3 years. But this is, I feel like there's a lot of bands that are using this opportunity to kind of have their COVID moment as well, where they get to, have something sad to put out because, and I'm not saying any of that's here, but who knows? There could be some themes there. So yeah, to me, it's like I listen to vinyl maybe a few times a month, but whenever I listen to vinyl, it's always an album that I absolutely love.
Gotcha. What's okay, since we're at it, what's cassette then? Like, is it
So
cassette like a
cassette,
no go? Like,
is like, I really, really like it. I like it enough to buy it, but I don't want to spend full price for a vinyl. And, usually cassettes are cheaper than CDs.
got
So
you.
it's kind of like, I want to own this and I want to experience this, but, I don't really want to pay that much for it.
I'm gonna go ahead and get this on cassette then.
Okay.
I think I'm gonna choose cassette. Like I like it. I do. Like you said, I like it. I want experience, but like, yeah, I don't know. I keep putting it up against the other Paramore albums. It's not like my favorite one. It was good, but it just wasn't my favorite one. Like, if I'm gonna own a Paramore album, it's not gonna be this one.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you. And, to be fair, it's like, this album, it's very funny how this kind of correlates really good to my Fall Out Boy review as well, because I was familiar with Fall Out Boy, and of course I loved the hits that everyone else loved,
Oh, for sure.
but I wasn't some Fall Out Boy fan. Like, I wasn't in the know with Fall Out Boy. And when they put this new record out, me and another friend of mine, Jake Bennett, we reviewed the So Much for Stardust album, and that album has made me want to dive more into Fall Out Boy. So
Really?
similar, oh yeah,
Gotten in there, bro.
similarly, this Paramore record makes me want to go back and, I knew I was onto something a couple years ago where I wanted to review their albums. So yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed it. I think whenever a band can make an impact on you, or an artist can make an impact on you, like last year, same thing happened with Joji. He had that album Nectar, and I just became
That was
obsessed with
crazy.
it. And it's like there's those albums that it's like, oh man, this one album has made me interested in you from now on. Like, I'll pay attention to you. And if you can make a really good record these days, like, you definitely deserve attention, because that's really hard to do in the era of playlist culture, where you have to have the best hit single to be featured on a playlist so that you
Would
even have a
call.
chance.
Yep.
You know, like, that's just ruined the album nuance. And I feel like this album has a lot of nuance and war, you know, I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. But obviously, I need to add an option two in there, where it's like, would you, if you had to buy it on either three or not buy it, just stream it? That's the last option.
No, I would
So
purchase it for sure. I would purchase
you
it.
would purchase it. It's
Oh
worth
yeah,
purchasing. I
yeah,
agree.
it's worth. I
Yeah.
would purchase it.
Yeah. So.
It's funny you said that because I was thinking about kind of when Paramore puts out singles, they never get when they put out the singles. Every time I think I'm like, man, this is gonna be the time they miss, because I don't know why. It just the single kind of doesn't get me every time. Besides, like when Brand New Eyes came out and I was like in it, but then after that. I think every single they put out, I was just like, nah. And then like listen to the whole thing as a collective project. I was like, oh, okay. In context, this is sick.
Yeah, and I mean, they took a 5-year break, and I feel like it's tough for these bands because they get really popular and they have a lot to say, and then all of a sudden their life starts getting a lot better, but they're still being expected to put out the exact same music that
Yeah.
they were putting out when they were in the previous situation. It's like, it doesn't work like that. So that's why it really is important to have that as integrity as an artist, because yeah, you want that attitude to follow you no matter what. Like, first thing that comes to mind is Bring Me the Horizon, like this deathcore band that goes like gothic pop, over
That
the
was
course of the
weird,
past
I'm not gonna
decade.
lie.
But I loved it. I was there for it. I was like, 'cause I loved that era of deathcore, Bring Me the Horizon. And it's interesting that they've evolved in that way. And I think, Paramore's attitude definitely still is here, but they are maturing, and that's nice to see as well. So, well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That is our review for This Is Why by Paramore. And I was joined by Terrell Brown, aka Mr. Freddie Jones. Right?
Little Freddy.
Go ahead, Terrell. Thank you so much for joining. I really, really appreciate it. Go
Thanks
ahead
for
and plug
having
all
me.
your stuff, though. Where can people find you?
Anywhere. Shoot. SoundCloud, Apple Music, Spotify, anywhere you can stream
YouTube?
Freddy.
Are you on YouTube?
Yep. YouTube, Amazon, anywhere you can stream. I'm
Okay,
there.
fantastic. There you
Got
have
to
it.
click one button.
Hodgepodge. Hodgepodge is out. I love having artists on to talk about other artists because, in a way, like, we can all hopefully in some way relate to each other. And, I really respect you as a musician and as a creator.
Oh, dude, thank you.
And I know Freddie Jones has passed away, unfortunately, but is that still true? Is Freddie Jones dead, or
He
is
may come
something in the
back.
works?
Yeah, something's, I don't know. I just, what are we doing? We're working on a show, like me and the band, we're working on a show we're trying to do in July. And I was like, oh, I'll probably just like do some songs to kind of do the
Okay.
open for us. I don't know, but we'll see. I
Well,
still am
definitely
making
keep.
songs, but
Well, whenever you put out something new, let's get together and talk about it.
for sure. When is yours coming out, man? Bro, I've
I don't
been
know. I'm
craving
so I'm
that
so
last song you sent me. I've been craving that, bro.
Well, you know, creating stuff is a it's a funny thing, man, but that's a conversation for another time, for sure. You're so sweet. You're such a nice guy. Look at you. He's trying to pump me up and tell me I'm a good musician
No,
whenever Freddie Jones is on.
that was actually like I'm not even gassing you up right now. Like it was actually like insane.
Well.
I'm like, should I tell you everything right now? But like,
Yeah,
gosh.
no,
It was
it's coming
great.
along, and you know, maybe one day whenever I release it. I was gonna release it this summer, but I've changed my plans a little bit, and I'm not really talking about what I'm gonna be doing. So we will talk about it at another time for sure. But
Coolio.
thank you for asking, and it's nice to have a fellow artist interested in my work as well. So Terrell, thank you so much for coming on, and say goodbye to the folks.
For sure. Bye. Nice to see everybody.